to the Judiciary Committee in her absence.
I guess he could. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
That's true. So in terms of recalling her career, I will simply remember when George Moscone was assassinated, she stepped up. She was great. And ever since then, she's been a sort of center-left Democrat. Are there any more Dianne Feinstein old-school Democrats left?
Not very many. I mean, you would, first of all, note that, you know, when she stepped to Moscone, I mean, what year was that, Hugh? That was a while ago. This trend of the Democratic Party has been going on underneath our feet for a while, and I think it's harder to see. I mean, I think there are other Dianne Feinsteins out there here and there, but they're few and far between, and they're increasingly not getting into these positions. And when they do, their own party is pushing against them. I mean,
yeah, it'll be fascinating to see who Gavin comes up with. I do want to close by the Seinfeld shutdown. The budget process has surprised not worked again. We're going to have a shutdown because of four members of the House Republican caucus, which I call the knucklehead sub-caucus. What do you think about this theater, Matt Spaulding?
I think you're right. It's theater. But let's step back for a moment. And what is this theater about? Setting aside those particular members for a moment, but the larger question here, the problem is the House of Representatives for some time now has essentially been not exercising its most powerful tools, which is the control over the budget, and we've gotten into this position where you have very narrow majorities in the House, a very small number of members can do this. So on the one hand, it's ridiculous because the House is a majoritarian body, and you figure it out, and you move forward. But having said that, I have to and I'm thinking here broadly about the conservative position, not necessarily these four members, but the general argument that we no longer follow regular order, we no longer do budgets the normal way, we slip everything into continuing resolutions, they're absolutely right about that. That is an ingredient for not only bad budgeting, but for a Congress which is giving away its most important power in controlling the budget. This theater we're watching here is really a symptom of a problem, not necessarily the problem itself, because we're seeing politics, in my opinion, being poorly managed in this situation, but they're trying to do it for what are these larger questions, which I think there is general agreement, but you've got to figure out how to continue operating. But how do you then revive congressional power in the sense that it becomes an actual branch of government vis-a-vis the executive? That's the bigger problem here. That's the larger question. That's why
I think members of the my personal opinion is that Speaker McCarthy is the most talented speaker we've had in 25 years. However, we've also changed the dynamic of politics where viral moments create fundraising and email opportunities and publicity. I do not know how to uncouple that. I don't think it's possible, Dean Spaulding. I think we're stuck with this system.
I think your point about viral, there's a certain parallel here with the debates we just watched, right? I mean, these viral moments in terms of identifying, you know, single popular candidates for fundraising is a real problem in our politics. But the point here, I don't know that I see the path right now. I don't know that it's clear. But what we have to do, and I think McCarthy is doing a very good job of navigating this, is how do you get back to some semblance of the rule of law and the structure by which Congress actually plays a check against the executive within government. If you can't do that, what good does Congress serve in the first place? It's got to have some sort of structural purpose. And this is preventing that from coming out in a way that is necessary to revive constitutional government.
4 years out of 40 years, we've had a budget. Four. It's remarkable dysfunction. Dean Matt Spaulding of Hillsdale. All things Hillsdale, including every Hillsdale dialogue. We rarely do a current events on live radio like we did, but the debate did spark that. I appreciate Dean Spaulding joining me. Everything Hillsdale, including the audio courses, the video courses, in Primus for free, and the application to attend, all of it at hillsdale.edu. Hillsdale.edu. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Harley. Thank you, Generalissimo. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Talk to you Monday.
But you absolutely, positively need the truth. This is where you turn. This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
I'm Scott, the owner of Solid Fire Pits. When I began welding my custom-made fire pits for friends and family, I shared them on TikTok because I was just so proud of them.
Check it out. That's beautiful.
I posted every new fire pit design, and more people kept ordering, from 26 states and counting. Then on my birthday, I had my best sales ever. Now how can the universe beat that?
Solid Fire Pits is just one of the 5 million U.S. businesses that rely on TikTok every day. TikTok sparks business.
My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest-rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
The question I get all the time is, how much do your loans really cost? I mean, are they super expensive?
First of all, if you need a loan for a week, just a few days, a month, whatever, you only pay interest for the time you have the loan out.
Okay, I'm with you so far, but how much exactly?
Let's use a $1,000 loan as an example. The interest would cost you $5.50 a day. And if you need the loan for 10 days, the interest cost would be $55.
Just $5.50 per day on a $1,000 loan?
Yes, sir. No other fees at all, just the interest for how long you keep the loan. Out, and for 2023, the first week's on us.
That was Chuck, and to celebrate 25 years in business, he's offering free loans to all new customers. No fee to apply and a week of free interest. Apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com.
Free loan means if you pay off your loan in 1 week or less, the interest is free. You are still required to repay the principal amount. Licensed by the Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Payment amounts based on bi-weekly pay frequency with annual percentage rate of 199.99%. For additional cost information, call 866-550-4352. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. There is word just in from Capitol Hill of the passing of a veteran member of the U.S. Senate. Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein of California has died. She served as California's senior senator since 1992, one of several trailblazing women elected to Congress in that year. Senator Dianne Feinstein, dead at the age of 90. The midnight Saturday deadline for a partial government shutdown fast approaching with no congressional agreement in sight.
The White House is telling its workers to prepare for a shutdown. According to communications obtained by the Associated Press, the House passed bills to fund the Departments of Defense, Homeland Security, and the State Department. But House Speaker Kevin McCarthy insists he won't take up Senate legislation designed to keep the federal government running, telling reporters Thursday he still has time to get it all done.
We will pass a continuing resolution, bring that rule up hopefully on Friday. That would keep government open.
McCarthy's acknowledged that divisions within the GOP conference are hampering the chamber's ability to do its job. His House allies hope the threat of a shutdown could help with the push to limit federal spending and combat illegal immigration. Jennifer King, Washington.
Did you watch GOP debate number two? Millions did, but the Trumpless debate didn't break any records.
The second Republican presidential debate this week attracted fewer viewers than the first debate in August, with an estimated 9.5 million people tuning in. 12.8 million tuned into August's debate, which marked the first time that much of America heard from the other Republicans hoping to take on former President Donald Trump. Wednesday night was the second time in a row that frontrunner Trump skipped the event to have the spotlight follow him instead of his distant rivals. Trump's first presidential debate in August 2015 drew 24 million viewers. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
News and analysis, townhall.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
A toast to our new college grad who fills us with so much joy, almost as much as when we're in our RV. Oh, the world is your oyster, kiddo, and ours too. Now that we're covered with Progressive, Dad and I can hop in our RV anytime we want. Might even splurge on a retractable awning. Ooh, look out! Sorry, what was I talking about?
Protect your loved one with an RV policy from Progressive. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you could save at Progressive.com.
This is your KMZQ News Flash. More than 30% of North Las Vegas homeowners are considered what is known as house poor, meaning they're using more than 30% of their income to pay monthly housing expenses. That includes the mortgage as well as utilities. Now, that new study from Chamber of Commerce, an online business resource website, ranks North Las Vegas 11th in the country. 18 of the top 50 cities in that study are in California, with the city of Fontana topping the list. 82% of its homeowners considered house poor. Las Vegas ranked 56th on the list, 69% house poor. Henderson was 63rd, Reno coming in at 88th. Passenger traffic at Harry Reid International Airport dropped in August for the first time since February of 2021, but it still handled more than 4.6 million passengers. Despite the decline, airport traffic for the first 8 months of this year, nearly 12% better than 2022. Gilly's, the TI restaurant with one of the best trip views of the upcoming Las Vegas Formula One Grand Prix, it's now reopened for business. The Southern Nevada Health District shut it down on Tuesday after inspectors saw food being prepared in the kitchen while construction work was being done. Gilly's officials say they have completed their needed repairs and have been given the go-ahead from the health department to reopen. And no big winner in Wednesday night's Powerball drawing, making 30 straight drawings with no one taking home the top prize. So four tickets did get $1 million for matching their five regular numbers. Tomorrow's jackpot will be worth $925 million or $432 million in a lump sum. Powerball jackpot, the last one back in July, with one ticket in the Golden State hit for more than $8 billion. The odds of winning? Oh, 292.2 million. As always, you got to play to win. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet,
located on 215 and South Rainbow,
home of the...
Getting reports of one accident on our Valley freeways on the east side, traveling south on 95 through the Charleston curve. This is just past Boulder Highway, southbound 95 again after Boulder Highway. Also an east side accident at the intersection of Nellis and Stewart to look out for, but you're moving along safely on I-15, 215, and Summerlin Parkway. This could be the last day we hit 90 degrees for a while, at least. We'll top out in the mid-90s this afternoon with winds that gust up to 25 miles per hour. But for now, it's only 70 degrees. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settle. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Friday, September 29th. This is a major day, a lot going on. We're going to talk about the death of Dianne Feinstein. We will do that in due time, I promise you. There's all kinds of stuff to do. We're going to talk with Ron Futrell about a busy sports weekend here in Southern Nevada. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. One thing we do at the beginning of every Friday show is we celebrate what I like to call the best day of the week.
Oh, man, what day is it?
Oh, yeah.
It's Friday.
Friday.
Wall to wall. It's Friday.
Oh, come on, you know better. You know that it's Friday. Good to have you with us on this Friday edition of Live and Local. We talk a lot about education. We talk a lot about school choice. And the one thing that we have forecast over the last couple of years as more states fully embrace school choice is that the educational marketplace is going to change. And so we find out in the private school industry, tuition rates at private schools are lower in states with school choice programs. That is according to a study by the Heritage Foundation. And joining us now is Jason Bedrick. He is a research fellow at the Center for Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Jason, thanks for being a part of the show on this Friday.
Kevin, thanks so much for having me.
Tell me about your study. I thought this was fascinating. Private school tuition in states with school choice increased by 15% over the past 10 years, while tuition in other states that did not have school choice increased by 28%. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, look, there's the concern that school choice, the introduction of a school choice program, would lead to tuition inflation. It's a reasonable concern given what's known as the Bennett hypothesis, named after William Bennett, who was Secretary of Education under Ronald Reagan, who noticed this happening in higher ed. You know, with the introduction of Pell Grants and subsidized loans and lots of other subsidies, it led to massive inflation, far outpacing general inflation in the higher ed sector. And so there's a concern if we enact universal school choice, as we're seeing almost 10 states have done in the last couple of years, would that lead to tuition inflation in K-12? So what we did is actually went back over the last decade and took a look at what has happened in states that have enacted school choice programs. And as you noted, the rate of tuition inflation in states that did not have school choice was nearly double the rate of inflation in states that did have school choice. We also looked at states that over the last decade have enacted a school choice program. And what we found is that adjusting for inflation, the rate of change before enacting school choice was inflation of about 2.1%. After enacting school choice, it was a negative 1.5%. So it does appear that we have reason to believe that school choice does not lead to tuition inflation and may actually help reduce tuition inflation.
The educational marketplace in states that have embraced, fully embraced school choice, what kind of states are we talking about here?
So states like, you know, Florida, Arizona, Indiana, Ohio, these are states that have had broad, robust school choice programs for a long time. And then just in the last couple of years, we've seen states like West Virginia, Utah, Arkansas, Iowa adopt really expansive education choice policies. So in the next few years, we'll have to reproduce the study and see what's going on in the states that really have gone bold and big in school choice.
I'm just curious. School choice seems to be more and more popular. Can you talk a little bit about what is going on and states in which they are looking seriously at school choice? We've got elections coming up in a matter of months.
Certainly. I think, you know, COVID had a lot to do with it. Really, the response of district schools to COVID, a lot of them closed down or remained closed for a lot longer than parents thought was reasonable. And so they started by clamoring to have their schools reopen. But then, you know, during Zoom school, they started to notice things. They started to notice the politicization of the classroom. They started poking around and finding pornographic books in the public school libraries. They started to find that there were, secret policies where the schools would call students by different names and pronouns without telling the parents, or put biological males on their daughter's sports teams or in their locker rooms, teaching critical race theory in the classroom. And so there was a large gap between the values that parents had and the values that were being pushed on children in the district school system. And that led parents first to just try and fix their schools. But eventually, a lot of them said, you know what, this is just not working. The school board's not listening. The school administration is not listening. We just need to go somewhere else. We should be able to choose a school that aligns with our values and have the money follow the child. And so in state after state after state, we have seen almost 10 states in the last 2 years have enacted universal school choice. I expect that, in the next few years, we're going to see another 10 states follow.
Is competition good for education and for school choice? I look at the, in fact, we all predicted this, I guess, that eventually we would end up with a competition among private schools, not private schools to public schools, but private schools to private schools. Is it making that marketplace better?
Yeah, I mean, over the last 2 decades, school choice programs we've had so far are relatively small. So in most of the states, we're talking about filling empty seats as opposed to, expansion. But in states that did go big and bold, like Arizona and Florida, we have seen that the school choice programs have induced an expansion in supply. And we have also seen test scores rising in those states, far outpacing the rise in test scores elsewhere. So just like in every other area in your life, when you have choice and competition, it's a rising tide that lifts all boats. It pushes people to do better, to achieve more. When you've got, a choice of two cable providers, there's not a lot of competition. There's going to be a lot of frustration. The provider doesn't have to be as responsive to the consumer. But when there's lots and lots of options, you're going to have a higher quality service at a lower price.
Jason Bedrick joining us, research fellow at the Center for Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Will we see more changes as we get further down the road and we get more states involved in studies like yours?
I think so, especially because a lot of the newer programs, a lot of the older programs are more like vouchers. A voucher is just a coupon that you can use in one place at one time, right? It just is used for private school tuition. But a lot of the newer programs are education savings accounts, a policy that Nevada had a brief flirtation with, but never actually, it was enacted, but it was never actually implemented due to a Supreme Court decision. Which ruled that it was constitutional, but just unconstitutionally funded, and the legislature changed hands before they could fix it. But with an education savings account, the money that the parents get is not just for tuition. You can use it for a wide variety of things: tutoring, textbooks, homeschool curricula, online learning, special needs therapy, and you can roll over unused funds from year to year. So you're not just going to see competition among private schools. They're also going to be competing with tutors. They're going to be competing with apprenticeship programs and online programs and all sorts of things like that. We've seen the rise of micro schools in Nevada also, but especially in states that have more flexibility in funding with ESAs. So, yeah, I think that over time we are going to see lots of new options opening up, especially in states that adopt robust education choice.
Jason, how can folks check this study, and is there a means of them accessing the work that you're doing on a daily basis at the Heritage Foundation?
Yes, at heritage.org, and the study is called School Choice Policies Do Not Raise Private School Tuition. They can find it online.
Jason, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great weekend. Jason Bedrick, research fellow at the Center for Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. And this is a fascinating study. If you get a chance, check it out. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. The latest on the passing of Dianne Feinstein, the senator from the People's Republic of California, dead at the age of 90 today. And now Gavin Newsom, what's he going to do? And is it possible that he's going to end up having to appoint someone? What about her spot on the Senate Judiciary Committee? Who ends up taking that? Chuck Schumer will ultimately determine that. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us. It's Friday. So good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
Friday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We'll try to put a bow on the week. What did we learn from the debate, and what do we expect as the Biden impeachment inquiry continues to grow?
9 to noon on AM 670 KMZQ.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over three decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
The IRS is hiring 87,000 new agents. It's not a matter of if, but when you or your small business will be audited. Hey, Mike Rasmussen here. You need to be prepared when the notice arrives. That's why you need my friends at RevRex. It's revenue reconciliation made easy. When the IRS audits you, they access third-party databases such as your credit cards, banks, and your point-of-sale system to find underreported income. In many cases, though, that income is not underreported. How do you prove it? RevRex. As a small business owner, you make a buck, you report that buck. Don't let the IRS or any tax agency estimate your bucks. RevRex does not replace your CPA. It's an online tool to assist you and your CPA before you hear from the IRS. Beat the IRS to the punch. Get your data. Get protected. Get RevRex. That's RevRex.com. RevRex.com.
Are you a small business owner? Would you like to turn your social media into an important profit center? Hey, Kevin Wall here, the owner of Battleborn Radio and a longtime client of the SKC Group. The pros at the SKC Group built our corporate website, then they updated that website to make it even more productive. The SKC Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of businesses. Locally owned and operated, the SKC Group provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design projects, or an engaging mobile-friendly website. What do I like most about the SKC Group? They showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. And who doesn't want more profit? Let the pros at the SKC Group help you and your business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Make that call right now.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, Don't argue. Don't resist. Don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to